The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're having a wonderful week. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and thank you for joining us. We're currently in a series we're calling Revelation, Letters to the Seven Churches. We're on episode number 8 of this series. If you'd like to go back and listen to previous episodes in this series, you can do that by going to faithalone.com. Now, I'll come back and tell you a little bit more about our website and our ministry at the end, but as for right now, let's get right to today's discussion about Laodicea with Dr. Bob Wilkin and David Renfro. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. David, what are we talking about today?
We are going to cover the last of the seven letters to the seven churches.
That's Revelation 2 and 3, and so we're in chapter 3.
3, verses 14 to 22.
Starting in verse 14, and this is the church of Laodicea. And this one's pretty famous for a lot of reasons. You got the hot and cold business going on. You've got Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And so some people use this as an evangelistic verse. And the hot and cold, people use that probably in the wrong ways, but they do use that a lot. Let's dig into this then. And how does the Lord identify himself in this letter?
In verse 14, he calls himself the Amen. And then the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So
right,
there's three things.
All right, let's dig that apart. What's the Amen?
The Amen, Amen is Hebrew, and it means true, or the truth. This is a relevant word, and you'll see why it's relevant, the Amen, the true, because of the condition of this church. The condition of the church in Laodicea is not good at all.
But yet they think it's good. And what is this part of it, the beginning of the creation of God? Because you could see how people could use this to say that Jesus was the first created being, which would be heresy, of course.
Yeah. There are people that say this verse teaches that Jesus is in a hierarchy of angels. I've heard that. Once again, do you think it could be related to in the beginning was the Word?
Yeah, and also in the beginning, God created.
Right.
In other words, he is the creator along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So he's the one that initiated the creation.
I think that's what beginning means. Another translation I have down here, instead of beginning, it could be origin.
Yeah.
The origin of the creation.
Right. So he's the source of it.
He's the source.
Yeah, that's good. And then he says again, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold, but I could wish you were cold or hot. So what's that about?
I think what John is using, or the Lord through John, is using an illustration that's relevant to Laodicea. There's a book, for the love of me, I can't remember the book I read, but it was a background to the letters to the seven churches.
Right.
And the author said that in the city of Laodicea, the water was horrible. It was tasted bad. It was just horrible. But just a few miles up the road, there was another place that had hot springs.
Right.
So people would go up there to sit in the spa. So that's what we would call it.
Right.
And then to the south of the city were cool springs. And people would go and maybe get water down there.
But both hot and cold were both good.
They were both good.
It wasn't like hot was good and cold was bad.
Right.
Which is the way most people take this verse, by the way.
I don't know how, because look at the end of verse 15. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Be one or the other. What does hot water do? It's healing.
Yeah.
And I think what the Lord is saying there is, I want you to be a church that when people come in from the culture around them, by the way, this was another horribly pagan culture.
Right.
That when they come in, they are healed spiritually, that you are there to encourage their spiritual healing, meaning come to faith and, believe in Jesus for everlasting life and then start living a life for him. On the other side, the cold water is refreshing.
And then he says, but you're lukewarm. You're neither one.
No, you're not healthy and you're not refreshing to be around. Have you ever been in a group, whether it's at church? It can happen in church or someplace else. Somebody walks in the room and just sucks the air right out of the room.
Yeah.
And after you've been around that person for just a little while, you're exhausted and you don't feel good at all.
You know, my mother used to call such people Težak. Težak is Serbian, and it means heavy, But it doesn't mean heavy in the sense of someone who weighs a lot. Mm-hmm. It means heavy in the sense of oppressive, fatiguing to be around.
Right.
And so, yeah, I agree that a person can come in and sap all the energy.
Just sap all the energy, and you walk away feeling worse than you did than before they walked in the room.
And Jesus says, the lukewarm person, I'm going to spit out of my mouth.
Well, that's obviously a reference to they're going to lose their salvation,
no,
right?
No, David, no. It's obviously a reference to the fact that if they continue on this vein, they're going to experience his judgment.
Yeah, it is. I think what's interesting here is, as opposed to being healthy to be around and or refreshing to be around, I think when it says, the Lord says, I will vomit you out of my mouth, I think it's, instead of being healthy or refreshing, you make me sick.
You're nauseating.
Yeah.
That's good. It,
to me, the phrase here signifies intense disgust.
That's great.
And I think that's what he's trying to convey here. The problem with Laodicea, it was an affluent church.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we're going to get into that in the next verse.
That's right. Therefore, the temptation of being affluent is, my focus in life is to maintain my affluence.
You're high on the hog.
Filthy rich.
And these people were. Notice he says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are what? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked?
Yeah.
So they have this very high regard for their physical riches, and also evidently they think they're spiritually rich too, right?
Well, I think this is a temptation in our day because there's a lot of affluence in the church today.
Right.
And the temptation is to become complacent.
Right.
I've made it. I'm there. And my job is to maintain this wealth, if you will. And I think what the Lord is saying is, what you're doing is you're making materialism the centerpiece of your life.
Now, nobody would do that today.
Oh, not in our culture.
No.
No,
they wouldn't. But
what the Lord is doing is he's changing their perspective. I'm amazed at how many scriptures are designed to make sure that you and I have the proper perspective on things, get God's perspective.
You know, this is a whole other sermon, but it seems to me that Christianity is ultimately perspective driven.
I agree.
It's a battle for the mind.
You're right.
Remember, Paul says the spiritual person has the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16.
Right.
It's really about our worldview. How do we see life?
My favorite is Psalm 73, when the psalmist looks at the prosperity of the wicked and the suffering of the righteous, he's going, I almost blew it spiritually.
Yeah.
Then I went to the temple of God and I saw what's going to happen.
Wow.
In other words, God changed his perspective to say, don't think that you got it right here.
That's true in all the wisdom literature, right?
That's true, yeah.
I mean, you see it in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes,
exactly.
The Sermon on the Mount, you know, the book of James, all the way through. If we have the right perspective, well, then that influences our behavior.
It not only influences, it increases our spiritual growth and maturity. But
now, what does he counsel them to do then?
Well, he says, you don't even know that you are. Notice that at the end of verse 17, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Those are the most vulnerable people in a society. In other words,
they think they're the least vulnerable, they're the most vulnerable.
They are really the most vulnerable. They've lost their perspective. So what do they need? What's the exhortation in verses 18 and 19?
Oh, you mean 18 and 19 is about getting their perspective back.
Exactly. I counseled you to buy from me. Notice how he's playing on that wealth stuff.
Right.
Buy from me gold refined in the fire. That's spiritual wealth.
Because they obviously had real gold.
Right.
In that culture, in that day, it's not like today where we have pieces of paper that have something printed on it and we call that money.
Right.
In that day, they had gold coins and they had silver coins. They also had lesser, like copper coins.
Bronze, yeah.
But, yeah, bronze. But most of their valuable coins were gold or silver.
Right.
So like a denarius would be a silver coin. I even have one that I keep in my files. My dad bought it for me for $25. I think it looks like a dime, except they were hand stamped. So that, you know, the one I have is from, I think, 96 AD. And when he says, I'm advising you to buy gold, he's talking about the spiritual gold you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. It's only by buying that gold refined in the... What does the fire represent? Possibly judgment.
Testing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you survive or if you endure that, notice it says you may be rich in white garments.
Now, they're not rich now, but they could become rich.
Exactly.
Spiritually.
Exactly.
Yeah. They think they're clothed with the best of garments, but no, they need to come to him to get the true righteous garment.
Exactly. And the only way to do that is to persevere and not depend on your physical material wealth.
Because that results in the shame of your nakedness.
Exactly.
That results in somebody being exposed as being spiritually unclothed, spiritually poor, spiritually blind, too.
Spiritually blind. I thought this was interesting in my research. It says, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. I found out from some of my reading that Laodicea was known for eye therapy.
Yes.
And therefore, the salve would be something that was well known. But notice what he says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. In other words, child upbringing, you know.
Yeah, actually, the word for that is paiduo.
Paiduo.
Which is to chasten or to train a child.
And so, therefore, he's trying to say, you know, I don't want you to remain complacent and depend on your material wealth. I want you to have true spiritual wealth. This is the way to do it. And I'm putting you through this not because I hate you.
Right.
That I'm against you. I'm putting you through this so you can have the true wealth that really is important.
All right. Well, we're about out of time, David. Maybe we can finish up this letter in the next episode and also overview all the letters. But to wrap up for today, I think it's important to see that this church at Laodicea is one that had the wrong perspective, and they desperately needed the right perspective.
They lived based on really bad priorities and became complacent as a result.
And we in the 21st century need to be careful of that very same thing. We need to have the right priorities and not be complacent.
I agree.
Well, thanks, everybody, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. Keep Grace in Focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, we didn't quite cover it today, so we're going to continue with Laodicea tomorrow and then give a final set of thoughts. So join us for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.